B'shus Marina Rav Shlita. I was concerned that the subject of Yotzatz might not appeal to everybody, because there are those who are fortunate in having parents of Mirva Esther Shona. I know one person here who has parents in the mid-90s and they should live beyond 120, but I think it's also an interesting subject for those who are dealing with Yotzatz of Rebbes or Rabbis or grandparents or whatever it is, so it should be a subject for everybody. Something which struck me already in my youth, in my North Hendon days, was when I attended a particular shiva, and at the end of the shiva they were bringing out drinks and mazonos for drinking a l'chaim, and I couldn't understand what was going on. I thought, this is a mournful period, this is something which is sad, and what they're doing is bringing out something which is tantamount to a celebration. And I was told, well, what we're doing is we're drinking a l'chaim, and when we say l'chaim, it means to life. It's a prayer for life. And there is, though, this seemingly paradoxical issue as to whether the Yahrzeit is a day of sadness or whether it's a day, in some ways, of joy, because there is an established custom which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that one fasts on the day of the Yahrzeit of a parent. Indeed, the Sefer Hasidim calls it a mitzvah. And yet, nevertheless, we know, particularly amongst the Hasidic communities, a custom of serving bromfen, of serving like a cake or whatever it is on the Yahrzeit, and even having a special seuda. In fact, there's a shtiebel in Golders Green which is having a seuda tonight, because it's the Yahrzeit of the former Rishoner Rebbe, the Heiliger Rishoner. So we're going to look at some of these issues of Yahrzeit as to what is behind it, and we're going to touch a little bit on the mystical and a bit on the Hasidic customs as well as others. Now, where does this word Yahrzeit come from? I'll just close this, okay? The custom of the word Yahrzeit is not really such an old word. The first mention of the word Yahrzeit is written by the Rav of the Maharil, who Rav Sholem in Neustadt. He makes mention of the word, and that is back in the 1350s, and it might give one the impression that Yahrzeit is a relatively modern phenomenon. It's a Yiddish word, but there are other expressions which relate to the word Yahrzeit. There is the expression Yom HaShonah, Yom HaMiso, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaPakido, Yom HaShkova. There are numerous expressions, and there is the famous Sephardi expression which the Hasidim use, Yuma Dehilula. The Yuma Dehilula, which is the most common phrase used, and for example Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, like Ba'omer, it's called the Yuma Dehilula, and various Hasidic Rebbes, they use this expression. And Hilula, what does the word Hilula mean? Some like to interpret it as a kind of day of joy, although the Droshos of the Chasam Sofer in Shin Tzadi, he says from the Zohar in Hazinu that Hilula is really Hallel, which is a day of praise. But nevertheless, why should the Yahrzeit be a day of praise? The Tana Dvei Eliyahu brings down in Tesayin Gimel that the day that Adam Arishon was Nifter was made into a Yom Tov of Mishde V'Simcha, which implies not simply that the Yahrzeit is a day of praise, but also a day of Simcha, of joy. How do we reconcile this kind of paradox? Especially amongst the Hasidic communities, you might go into a shtiebel and find every other day they're not saying Tachanun. Why aren't we saying Tachanun? It's a Yahrzeit. And normally you don't say Tachanun when it's a Yom Tov. So how do we understand this idea? The idea of serving drinks is brought down. It's called a minag of tikkun, of serving drinks on the Yahrzeit. And the Sefer Chashvei Machshava says this was an established custom which emanated in Romania, and if that is a custom, how is it possible, if there is also a custom, to fast on a Yahrzeit? If there is a Spanish established custom to fast on a Yahrzeit, then how can you serve drinks on it? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in fact said that when you serve the L'chaim on a Yahrzeit, you don't drink yourself. You're serving everybody else who says the Chaim. But you yourself refrain from drinking. And there are those who oppose this custom. The Shalosh Shuvos Shem Aryeh, that it's like Zivchei Mason. He says, Yahrzeit is a day when one should feel troubled, because it's the anniversary of the day of a parent's or whoever's death. So how can we understand this? The Shas is a bit obscure when it comes to the custom of Yahrzeit. Even if we go earlier into Tanakh, there's very little reference to the idea of Yahrzeit. There are obscure references in Shoftim Divrei Hayomim. The Sefer Chassidim brings down in Reish Lamed Aleph that David HaMelech actually fasted on the Yahrzeit of Shaul, and he also fasted on the Yahrzeit of Yehonasan and of Avner, Shmuel Beis in Perek Aleph Yud Beis, because he says there's a custom to fast on the day of the death of an important person, not just of a parent. And we grow from the Gemara in the Dorim Yud Beis that when a person says that I will not eat meat or drink wine, it should be like the day of the day that their parents died, that it's like the day of the Yahrzeit, because that is the day, Rashi indicates, of a periodic time, la'olam, that always, every single year, one will be fasting. And Rashi refers in Yevamos Kukaf Beis to the Amoraim who fixed the time on the Yahrzeit to visit Kavorim because it was a time of sadness. What are the reasons for Yahrzeit? Let's just try and understand the ideas behind it. It's brought down that one of the main reasons of commemorating a Yahrzeit is because of honouring parents. Kibud Avayim. The Sefer Chinuch says that when one keeps the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim, it is that a person should recognise the chesed which a person has done for oneself, and namely parents have done this for oneself. And the Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Aleph, says that Kibud Avayim is to honour parents b'chayov u'mechabda b'mosa. And also, when the parent is no longer alive, one is honouring parents. And the Geshe Chaim says that this mitzvah of honouring parents is midoraisa, and not just midoraisa when they are alive, but also midoraisa when they are not alive. And the way, therefore, to honour one's parents when they're no longer alive is commemorating the Yahrzeit, showing this mood of sadness, and doing mitzvahs on the day which will help them. And so the next reason, the next main reason, especially from the Ari HaKadosh, is that the Yahrzeit is a day of atonement. It's a day of Kapora, which is maybe Kapora Nishmosam. The Yahrzeit, he says, is a judgment day. The Neshama is judged on that day. And when one says Kaddish, or Baruch Hu, or does Limud Torah, Mishnayis, and good deeds, that is helping the parents. That is doing something positive to help the neshamas of the parents who are being judged during the first year, and then later on every anniversary of their patira. And because the neshama is being judged, and in fact on subsequent years, the mystics say that they're being judged on the small averus, no longer on the big averus. And by saying Kaddish and Baruch Hu, that helps them. Because the mere fact that one is a child of such a parent, and that one was brought up by such a parent, and that as a result of that bringing up, one is doing these mitzvahs, that is a zechus for the neshama, which helps the neshama when they are being judged. So the Chofetz Chaim writes very critically about those people who commemorate their parents' memories by marble monuments with gold lettering and elaborate landscaping, and the kind of matzavas which certain rich people are making, which are glorifying, in their view, the memory of their parents. He says that does not help the parents' neshamas. What helps the parents' neshamas is when one is busy with Torah and mitzvahs. Because every single mitzvah one is doing, because the neshamas can't any longer perform mitzvahs. But when we, out their offspring, are performing mitzvahs, we are constantly helping those neshamas. And that is therefore the best thing one can do. That when it comes to the Yahrzeit and one is busy with Torah and mitzvahs, that is helping the judgment day, as it were, of those neshamas. Which brings us really to the next reason for the Yahrzeit. And that is, at every single Yahrzeit, the mystics say, the neshama is raised to a higher level in Gan Eden. The status of that neshama gets higher and higher as each year progresses. So much so that when many years go by, Kaddish might no longer be said anymore, but that neshama won't need the Kaddish anymore. Some years ago I made it my job to try and find the grave of a great-grandfather, because somehow it was forgotten where it was, because when my grandmother was sitting shivafim. She was only a young girl. He was aged 35 when he died, my great-grandfather. So I made it my job to try and find his kever, and there are 8 Jewish cemeteries in East London. And one goes around the Matsavis, one looks in the registers. Anyway, after a long search, the name had been spelled differently. We found the kever. There was no stone on it, because they couldn't afford a loaf of bread in those days, so how could they afford a Matsava? In fact, the shuls would not allow a Matsava if the Leviah wasn't paid for. Anyway, we found the kever, and we put a stone on it 100 years after the event. And we got a minyan together, and we went there, and we said Kaddish. My father said Kaddish, and the Rav who was present, Rabbi Shlomoish Friedman, said to my father, you know, you don't really have to say a Kaddish. 100 years have gone by, the Neshama doesn't really need it anymore. Okay, there were 10 people, we said a Kaddish. So the Arizal says in Shaar Kavanos that the Kaddish in the first year of Avelis transfers the soul from Gehinnom to Gan Eden. And on the Yot site, the soul is raised in Gan Eden to a higher level. And there is an interesting story brought in the Arizal Ruach.
Why wait till the other side? Why not every day? I mean, you say the other side, if you say Kaddish every day, and raise it every day.
Yeah, there is this.
Why wait every year?
There is this question about, you know, if Kaddish helps the Neshama, why not make it every day? Because once the first year is up, the Neshama is in Gan Eden, and the judgment day and the time when the Neshama is elevated is on the Yotzeis. So says the Arizal. Hence the idea of doing Kaddish and mitzvah especially on that day. But that's not to say you shouldn't do mitzvahs at other times of the year, and you shouldn't do things that Iloi Nishmos on at other times of the year. But those are the days of emphasis. And there's a story brought by the Ozarua in Hilchos Shabbos, Simon Nun, about Rabbi Akiva. Brought down the story of Rabbi Akiva, who had the vision of a man who was no longer alive, and this man appeared to Rabbi Akiva and said to him, I'm having a very terrible time in Gehinnom, and he was describing to him the sorts of things he had to endure there, and he was saying, I beg you, please do something for me, get a Kaddish said for me, get a Baruch Hu said for me. So he asked this man, well tell me, what were you doing in your life? He says, I was the Gabbai Mas, I was the tax collector. You can understand, chartered accountant, please note. And he said, I was a tax inspector, and I gave very favourable treatment to the rich people, and I gave very bad treatment to the poor people, and I'm now suffering in Gehinnom, terribly. But if you can organise for me some sort of Kaddish or Baruch Hu, I know that I will be saved. So he said, well, what was your name, and what was your wife's name? My name was Akiva, and my wife's name was Shushpina. And he says, and what town did you come from? He said, Ludika. And when I died, my wife was pregnant. I don't even know what sort of child she's had from that pregnancy, whether it was a boy or a girl. So Rabbi Akiva made it his job to find out where this family was living and where they were. And he located in this town of Ludika, and he asked around, and he found the wife of this man. He asked the directions, and people knew who this man was, they said, oh, we wouldn't want anything to do with him. He was the biggest rasha you can imagine. It reminds one of the story of the Gabba, who everyone spoke badly of, and then one finds the Gabba, he says, why are you Gabba? He says, oh, I only do it for the covered. Anyway, the wife was found, and she said, Yirach Shemovi Dechrono, I don't want to have anything to do with my late husband. Anyway, he located the son. The child who was born was a son of this man. This son did not keep anything whatsoever. And Rabbi Akiva chatted him up and sat with him. And Rabbi Akiva fasted for 40 days while he was teaching him, in order that Hashem should help, that something should come of this son. And he taught him to read Aleph Beis, and he taught him how to daven and to say Kriya Shema. And finally, he managed to get this son to keep mitzvahs and to daven at the Yomud. And he taught him how to say Kaddish, and especially Baruch Hu as well. So when you say Baruch Hu, make sure that the community answer you, Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch Le'olam Vo'ed. And after this happened, this deceased man appeared to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he said, you've saved me. I have been transferred from Gehinnom to Gan Eden. And this story is brought down in a number of places. It's in Tana Devei Elyoh as well. And it's brought down from the Zohar Chodosh that this story's version was he trained the person to say a Haftorah. And when a person says the Haftorah, that also is a big zechus for the Neshama. And I remember hearing from Reb Matisyahu Solomon, formerly of Gateshead, he's now the Mashgiach of Lakewood, and he said when a person says Yizkor on Yom Tov, you know, Yom Tov is a happy time, why are we saying Yizkor, which might make us feel sad? He said because when we're celebrating Yom Tov, we're not only celebrating it for ourselves, we're bringing the neshamas of our departed to celebrate Yom Tov as well. And that when we remark on Yom Tov about the names of the departed, it's as if we're like sending presents to relations who are far away. Because those relations are no longer able to keep the mitzvahs. But they are benefiting from the mitzvahs that we are keeping. So that when we are maskin neshamas on Yom Tov, it's not really a sad event. It's a happy event because we're like sending presents to these relations who are far away, who are also benefiting from the Simchas Yom Tov, which we are benefiting from ourselves.
No, that's why I think you say you shouldn't go out.
No, I've had the opposite.
Well, well, it's regarded, there's an established minhag to go outside and it's called Kibbud Av Aim because it might look as though otherwise you're having disregard for your parents. So there is this custom to go outside for Yizkor. But it's not the din that one has to. And so when one answers Yehei Shemei Rabba to a Kaddish, because the actual inyan of saying Kaddish isn't simply that one says Kaddish, it's that one is bringing other people to say Amen Yehei Shemei Rabba. And by bringing other people to say Yehei Shemei Rabba, that is a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim, and therefore it's regarded as a big zechus for the neshama. And there's an interesting story, if I may give another story on the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yoffe, who was being taught by Rav Yitzchak Abohav some 300 odd years ago, and the Levush was very busy in his Talmudics at the time, and he did not answer Amen to a bracha which was said by a young person present, and Rav Yitzchak Abohav was so angry with him for not saying Amen to this bracha, and he said, you don't realize that every single time you've got the chance to say Amen, you have to say Amen, and if you don't, it's such a big avery, you're chay of nisa, he said to him. And he said to him, I'm going to put you into Nidoy for 30 days because you did not answer Amen to this bracha. And that wasn't a Kaddish, that was just some bracha on some food. And he took the lesson very seriously and he said to him, Rabbi Yitzchak Abohav said to him, from now on make it your job in life to teach everybody, that spread the word that they have to say Amen to every single bracha that you hear. Because one doesn't realize that each time one says Amen, and Amen is related to Emunah, that is the status of showing a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabbim.
On the first story you mentioned where you said you didn't know what child his wife had, I would assume that the people in Gan Eden know what's going on there.
It's funny you say that, because in another version of the story it was actually he actually said to Rabbi Akiva, and my child was not even circumcised. So I thought to myself, you know, how could he know if his son wasn't circumcised if he wasn't born yet? It turned out that he hadn't been circumcised and Rabbi Akiva organized the bris. And your question may answer that question, that he did know that a child was born. In fact, the Sefer Ozora actually says this, that he said that my child has not been circumcised. And yet, he said that the child wasn't born when I died, so how did he know? And that answers what you're saying. These are amazing stories, I mean, and they're brought down in very reliable sources, that we don't realize how important and how effective the Amen Yehei Shemei Rabba is, and other mitzvahs as well, but not that there should ever be any machlokas. I remember when I was in the Shloshim for my father, whose yotzeit is next week, and I was starting Ashrei at the Omud, at Mincha time, and somebody comes into the shul and shouts very loud, I've got yotzeit! And I'd already started davening at the Omud, and the Gabba felt a little bit awkward as to what to do, and this fellow was insistent that he should daven at the Omud. So I pointed at the Omud, as if, Gesundheit, you want the Omud, take the Omud. So I walked off, and he took the Omud. So somebody said to me afterwards, how can you let down your father like that? You should stick to your rights, you should have stayed at the Omud, and you should have carried on. Why do you allow yourself to be bullied like that? I said to him, look, you didn't know my father, but this would have been what he would have wanted. You know, keep the darkish shalom. And by doing other mitzvahs, we don't realize that other things as well can be as a chusfun and a shoma. And we'll come back to that later. Now, other reasons are given for yotzeit. there's the idea of when you're helping the neshama, it's like lo samos al dam reyecho. If you help a person who is alive to save their life, then all the world is going to be helping their soul to save them. Lo samos al dam reyecho. And it's also a bit like returning lost property, neshama sabedo, because if returning lost money is a duty to help somebody else, then kavuchomer, you're giving something to the neshama which is due to them. And therefore, we once discussed this before, if a person leaves a wish that Kaddish is not said for him or her, you don't listen. Because that person doesn't realize what a great zechus it is for the neshama to be saying Kaddish. Another idea of Yotzeit is that when feels a sort of anguish on the day, the Ram in the Dorei Daf Yud Beis talks about the Yotzeit for a parent or for a Rav. And that's why there is a custom or a mitzvah to fast, as we said with David HaMelech. And apart from the remembrance, the commemoration, the Yotzeit is also a day when it encourages people to follow in the footsteps of the deceased, when we will be reflecting on the deeds of the departed. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that Tzadik was a Mashgiach of Mir, he said that he constantly reflected on what his father had done during his father's lifetime, because to find the different virtues and different zechusim, he said that enables a genuine honor, a proper kibud av aim, and it's not an artificial honor of parents if one identifies the good deeds that a parent had done, and that can be particularly done on the Yom Kippur. Well, we're not going to deal very much with various things, but we'll touch on a few. And of course, we light the Yotzeit candle, which is a very established practice, and the Mava Yabuk says that Ner Doruk, the phrase, a lighted candle, is the gematria of 390, which is the same gematria as Hashechino. And as we know, Ner Elokim Nishmas Odom. And the Yotzeit light is a light from which one should not have benefit. Once, when I was the shamus of this very shul, a certain person asked me to light a Yotzeit candle on Yom Tov because Yizkor was being said. So I did what I was told, and afterwards Rav Cooper came up to me and said, "What have you done?" I said, "Well, somebody has said to me, light the Yotzeit candle." He said, "But on Yom Tov, the mitzvah of Ach Asher Ochel Ochel Nefesh, of doing melacha, is the Tzurich Ochel Nefesh. And the Yotzeit candle is not for a Tzurich, it's a Yotzeit light." So I said, "Well, that's quite simple then. We'll just get somebody to use it. I don't know, light a cigarette or something. And then you've got a use for it on Yom Tov." He said, "No, you can't." I said, "Why not?" Because he said, "It's a Yotzeit candle." Anyway, the ideas of Yotzeit lights are referred to in Hilchos Yom Kippur, in Arachayim Tov Resh Yud. And the Maharshal talks about it in Tov Shavuot. It's a well-established practice, the Magen Avraham in Resh Samach Aleph. What if there is no person to say Kaddish on a Yotzeit? It's brought down from various poskim that if there is no one to say Kaddish, or it's awkward to say Kaddish, for example, if a person has lost his wife, or wife has lost her husband, and remarries, then it might feel awkward to say Kaddish for a first spouse when one is married to another spouse. And there is no child to say Kaddish, then there are various options. Grandchildren can say Kaddish, or one can hire a person to say Kaddish. And it's possible for one person to say Kaddish for several people. There are various institutions which support themselves financially by taking money for the service and so on, but then one can organize a Kaddish to be said. It's a very good idea, says the Shalos Tshuvas Rav Poalim, best to avoid going to work on a Yotzeit, because it's a special day of reflection. If one can't help it, one is honest, okay, but one should try to avoid it. Now, a few weeks ago, I was in Chicago for a family chasna, and I was davening in Skokie at a couple of Heimische shuls, and it was very interesting that on weekday mornings there was a significant number of women in shul. I couldn't quite believe it, that although there was a kosher mechitza, one could see that there were women there, 10 or 15 women. And I remarked about somebody, and he said, "Well, a lot of them are here to say Kaddish." I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "A lot of them are here to say Kaddish." Now, a few months ago we were talking about this subject. We passed on it lightly when I talked about conforming to the wishes of the departed, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, and we touched on this subject of women saying Kaddish, and I realized I might be touching on something rather controversial. And I found that the Shalos Tshuvos of the Minchas Yitzchok in Chelek Tes is quite adamant about it. He says, we do not give the zechus to women to say Kaddish, especially if it's in a shul and there are men present, smears and so on. It's not a bad reflection on women, but it's the job of the men to say Kaddish. However, I did find in the Shalos Shuvos Yaakov, Chelek Beis Tzadi Gimel, he does allow women to get together a quorum of a minyan in their house to say Kaddish, and this is brought down in the Shari Tshuva Kuflamad Beis Hei, and Rav Henkin was quoted in Apardes as saying that a woman could even say the Kaddish if she's in the ladies' gallery and that the men cannot hear her. Her voice should not be heard by the men. And the Geshe Achaim in Shin Kaf Hei says that if there is no adult to say Kaddish and she's under Bas Mitzvah and there is no son, he leans towards a girl saying Kaddish as well. And the Sefer HaKaddish says that if there are lots of Avelim present in Shul and therefore the women can't be heard because their voices are drowned by the men who are saying Kaddish, and that the women are answering Yehei Shemei Rabbah, he also gives something to that. However, although there are those opinions, I found others who are saying no. The Mishpatei Uziel says we don't add to the traditions that we've already received from the past. And he says daughters can merit their parents in other ways. As we've said before, Kaddish is not the only way to give a zechus for the neshama. One can do good deeds, and that also is a zechus for the neshama. And we know from the Gemara in Sota Yudalef, Bischus Noshim Tzidkonios Nigolim Mitzrayim, the reason why we were able to come out from Egypt was not because of us men. It was because of the women that we were zocher to come out from Mitzrayim. And it's when the women are doing the good deeds, those are helping as well. And therefore the Bach in Shin Satihei says the women do not say Kaddish, and the Ramah alludes to that in Siman Tov Beis Yud Beis. And Rav Sternbuch brings down, even on a Yotzah, he says no. So the bottom line, just a minute, the bottom line must surely be this. If one's own Rav says to a woman, don't say Kaddish, then by listening to the Rav, you're doing a mitzvah by listening to the Rav, that is a zechus for the neshama, and by doing that zechus for the neshama one, it is as if you have said Kaddish. Sorry.
If the purpose of saying Kaddish is that people should always have a new age, new level, surely that in itself must be a good support. So you say, why can't a woman do it? Why can't anyone do it?
The paradox is if the woman is not so loud so that the men don't hear her and therefore she's quiet, then you can't say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, then what's the point of saying the Kaddish?
Yeah.
The idea is...
This is such an important idea that people should view in unison and say,
why should it make a difference if a woman is initiated? Because halacha is a balance between different rules, and you can't take one rule in isolation and promote it when there are other ideas like tzniyus to be taken into account. That's why poskim might frown on women doing some things for zechus and neshama when they can do other things instead. It's not a discrimination. It is a question of drawing a red line somewhere to say, well, Kaddish itself can have its limitations. Even though it's a zechusim and a shoma, there are other zechusim as well. So, when we come back to our original question, and that was, is the Yotzeit a day of sadness, or is it a day of joy? We've quoted sources to say that it's a day of reflection, a day of atonement, and it's a kapara, and it's a judgment day. And it seems that in the more Litvish or Yekish circles, it is a sad type of day. There are no parties made. Whereas you find in the Hasidish circles, it's very different. And that the wish which the Hasidim say is that the neshama should have an aliyah. The Yekas say, Abiyas HaGoel, and one answers, Bimhera V'Yomeinu. But the Hasidim are saying that the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Now, the Zantzer Rebbe, the late Zantzer Rebbe ruled that when he will have his Yotzeit one day, the people should have a Seuda on it, and the people should give Tzedakah on it. And he said, this should be a Zechus for his Neshama. And Reb David Moshe Mitzokashov said, because on that day the neshama of the tzaddik goes up and up. And the Chasam Sofer refers in particular to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer, although Lag BaOmer was also a day when we had the month starting at that time and Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying, but there's big celebrations going on Lag BaOmer, which is the outside of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and we sing the Zemiras of Bar Yochai. And the late Belzer Rebbe is quoted by the Shutz Yad Nosan in Chelik Beis Evan Rezo Mem Tes. He said that the yahrzeit of a tzaddik is like the day of a chasna, a happy day when one gives presents to the groom. Why is that? Because he says on that day Hashem is bestowing on that soul a goodness to fulfill the wishes of that neshama. Hence the idea of going to the grave of that tzaddik on the yahrzeit. Because when one goes to the grave of that tzaddik, one is davening, and that the neshama should hear that davening, and the neshama will then pray for us before the Kisei HaKavod, and that the zechusim of that tzaddik should help us. And that is why the late Belzer Rebbe said that it's like a yomtiv. And that can make us understand that even though it's a sad event that someone has departed, the Hasidim will not even say tachanun on that day. And in conclusion, we might reflect in another way, and that's this. When Avraham Avinu was sitting Shiva for Sorai Meinu, it says, Lispod Lasarov Velivkosa. He did a hesped and he cried for her. And if you look at the words Velivkosa, there's a very little small cuff in the word. Some say you could read it Ulavitar. But there is an idea brought down in the Mephoshim that the reason for the small cuff is that when one does sit and mourn for one's close relations, there is a limit. One has to draw a line somewhere. Because after the shiva, one has to get up, one has to get on with one's life. And one can't be mournful the whole time. And there are stages of avelus. There is the shiva, there is the shloshim, and then there's the shona rishona. And after that there's the yotzeit. But we have to get on with our lives. And when we do say l'chaim over a drink, whether we have a drink or not on the yotzeit, l'chaim to life, it's a positive way forward. And that the best way of living is to try to emulate the ways of the departed and live positively and not in a mournful way, but get up and to do something positively. And from that, we can understand the words of the Zantzer Rebbe, the Belzer Rebbe, that the Yahrzeit can be a day in some ways not just of reflection, but also of simcha and of joy, because we can know that we are fulfilling the wishes of our close ones and doing something which is helping their neshamas forever and forever. Thank you very much.